live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let us pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the opportunity to be in worship today and for the way that your Spirit has moved in our gathering thus far. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move among us. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, we ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts. That what it is that you have to say to us today, God, we might receive, not as more information, but indeed, Lord, may we find your words for us today transforming. And as we are transformed today, gracious God, we pray that you would help us to go back out into the world and share your good news with others. All this we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we have prayed together today, saying, Amen. Well, here we are at Palm Sunday, and the interesting thing to me always about Palm Sunday is how much joy there was when Jesus made the triumphal entry, when he rode on that donkey's back into Jerusalem. And you know, one of the things that I think happened that day was that as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, as he rode into the city gates, people really thought that something great was going to happen. People really thought that something amazing was going to happen, that something life-changing and world-changing was going to happen. They thought that Jesus was going to become the king. And it reminds me of how in every situation, but particularly as we have watched this silly March Madness with the basketball, and now we've gotten up to the Final Four, which is now down to the Final Two, you know, there's always a winner and a loser in every game. Sorry, Louisville fans. Right? There's a winner and a loser. And I think that one of the reasons that people were so excited on Palm Sunday and that they were so happy about what was going to happen because they thought Jesus was a winner. They thought he was going to be the king. They didn't realize that what Jesus was going to, as he went into Jerusalem, despite the fact that Jesus said this to his disciples and to everyone who would listen over and over again, was that he was going to the cross. He was going to his death. But yet on that Palm Sunday, everybody got caught up in the excitement. They got caught up in what was going to happen. And they didn't realize what Jesus knew was that he was really riding into Jerusalem and he was riding to his death. And you know, sometimes when we think about our Christian lives, we wonder where God is and what God is doing. Because it's easy to be a Christian, isn't it, when things are going well, when everything's going great in your life? It's easy to praise God. Just as easy as it must have been for all those people to praise and lift hosannas and to wave those palm branches for Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem. The problem, I think, is what do we do and where do we go when things don't go as planned? When we think that we're riding into our own personal Jerusalem, we think that everything is going well and everybody is cheering, and all of a sudden things go south. Things take a turn for the worst. Perhaps we might get a diagnosis that we didn't want to hear, or one of our loved ones has that happen to them. Perhaps our lives aren't working the way that we thought they were. Perhaps we don't get the promotion that we thought we were going to get at work. Perhaps our family life is not going as well as we would want. Perhaps there's some conflict there. Perhaps we get depressed and despondent about what's going on. And where do we go then? Where do we go then? In 1982, our country built a memorial to the veterans of the Vietnam War. You all know very well what it is. It's called the WAL, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. What you may not know about this memorial is that since 1982, when this has gone up, each and every night the park rangers have gathered letters, photographs, teddy bears and other stuffed animals, mementos that people have left at that wall. 15 years after it was built, they had collected and cataloged and stored some 15,000 items, and it continues today. And the park ranger says, nobody saw this coming. Nobody knew that this was going to be a part of this memorial. But I think I know what's happening there. I think sometimes when we don't know what to do, when we don't know where to go, when we don't understand what to do, we want to bring something, and we want to set it somewhere to make an acknowledgement, to make an understanding, to make an offering, if you will, when we really don't know where else to take our hurts and our losses and our sorrows. Well, I want to suggest to you today that we as Christians have some place that we can take those things, that we don't have to wonder where we can take our hurts, our pains, our sufferings, our sorrows, because we can take them to the cross. We can take them to the cross. You see, we don't like to think about the cross very much because the cross means suffering and death. And most of us don't want to think about suffering and death. Indeed, we try to keep it away from us. We try not to think about suffering and death. And it's interesting, in the passage that I read to you from 1 Peter, the very first verses, Peter says, you know what? Because Christ suffered for you, you should not back away from suffering. You shouldn't back away from suffering. Instead, you should give your suffering to Christ. You should bring that suffering to the cross. Because you see, when we really think about what happened at the cross, just about each and everything that we could go through as human beings that we could suffer with, Jesus went through. I mean, if you think about it, the betrayal. Have you ever been betrayed? You ever had somebody that you trusted, that you believed had your best interest at heart, and then you found out that they didn't? Guess what? Jesus experienced betrayal too. Maybe it's despondency. Maybe you're despondent over the way things have gone. Well, you know, Jesus was despondent too, wasn't he? Do you remember the poignancy of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if it be your will, please take this cup from me. And going back to his disciples, who he'd asked to pray with him, and they were all asleep. You see, Jesus experienced that too. Do you experience physical pain in your life? You ever experience any physical pain? We know Jesus experienced physical pain too, and Jesus understands what physical pain is and what it means to be in agony. To be in agony. Have you ever been angry with God? Have you ever been so angry because things didn't work out the way you thought they should work out? Do you remember when Jesus was being crucified, what he cried from the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? You see, Jesus experienced all those things that we have experienced. And he knows what it means to suffer. He knows very well what it means to be betrayed, to be angry with God, to be despondent, to feel physical pain, to feel alone, as if you hadn't a friend in the world. And because Jesus experienced all those things, the good news is that all we have to do with our hurts and our pains and our sorrows is take them to the cross. Because you see, I believe that we don't think about the cross enough in this way. We don't think about the cross as a place where we can go. We don't want to go to Jesus sometimes with our hurts and our sorrows, our pains and our sufferings, because we say, you know what? I want to be with the triumphal Jesus who's riding into Jerusalem. I don't want to identify with the Jesus who's hanging on the cross. But that was exactly the point of Jesus hanging on the cross, wasn't it? That was the point. That was the point. Peter was quoting Isaiah at the end of this passage, and I just want to read you what Isaiah's prophecy was about Jesus. Now understand, this is about 700 years or so before the crucifixion. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. We despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. I'm sure many of you have seen the movie The Passion of the Christ. And probably one of the most dreadful parts of that movie is when you see the hammer come down and pound those nails into Jesus' ankles and into his wrist. Mel Gibson decided when he made that movie that it would be his hand holding the mallet that hammered the nails. Because he said he recognized that I was one of the people that nailed Jesus to the cross. And I think that's very true. And I think that this heavy mallet, so ugly and it feels so hard in my hand, this mallet reminds me of the suffering that Jesus endured. The suffering that Jesus took on, the suffering that he took on for us, so that when we suffered, we would have somebody to go to who understood what it felt like, what it felt like to lose, what it felt like to grieve, what it felt like to have no hope, what it felt like to be angry, what it felt like to be despised and rejected, what it felt like to be in pain and what it felt like to suffer. Yes, this mallet, brothers and sisters, I held it and you held it. We all held it. And the reason that Jesus was willing to ride on that donkey into Jerusalem to what he knew was going to be a certain death for him was so that you and I could find healing and peace, so that you and I could find a place to take our suffering, our sorrow, our pain, our hurts, and the place that we can take those is always to the cross, to the cross. So whatever's going on in your life, brothers and sisters, whatever you're struggling with today, and Lord have mercy, I know what a lot of you are struggling with, and I know what I'm struggling with, and it's never easy. It's never easy. But the good news is that because Jesus was willing to go to the cross, you and I have some place to take our hurts, to take our pain, to take our suffering, to take our sorrows, in a paradox that only God could understand. It is when we do that that we understand that the pain Jesus took on for us has truly brought us healing and wholeness and a path back to God. So may we always, always, always remember the cross. The cross. The cross on which our Savior died. The cross on which all of our sin and our suffering was born. The cross on which we can take all of our sin and our suffering and our sorrows and lay them down at the feet of the one who loved us more than we could ever imagine.